Hello, I'm Andy Wint. Welcome to a special edition of The Man in Line. We get all kinds of comments flooding in during The Man in Line, from subjects, well, about budgerigars called Peter sometimes, to serious issues like COVID, for example. Now, those calls and messages come from all kinds of people on the island, old and young, well-informed and, shall we say, instinctive. And it's a policy of The Man in Line to get out and about, out of the studios and in amongst the people of the Isle of Man. Indeed, over the past few months, we've taken The Man in Line to sixth forms across the island's schools. And today we're looking back at those visits to Ramsey Grammar School, Ballacameen High School, QE2 in Peel, St Ninian's, King William's College and Castle Rushen High School. So stay with us as we hear some impassioned comment from those sixth formers. First of all, it's off to St Ninian's High School in Douglas, beginning with Thomas, who talks about the use of social media, a popular topic with students that we met.
I like Twitter for Blackburn. Blackburn's, they've got a good Twitter fan base, so that's good. But yeah, because we're on the Isle of Man, we're a bit more, like, obviously pre-COVID, I couldn't see much of the games, but Twitter was good for that, so yeah, but now that no one's at the games, it's like pre-match streams, post-match streams, so that's good.
And I want to talk to you about social media. Mm-hmm. Do you use Facebook much?
I do, yeah. I've only recently joined because, I don't know, I was trying to get on it and it blocked all my accounts for some reason before I even got on it, so I haven't done anything wrong, but before I even got on it. So I got my mum on the case and she managed to get me on there.
Okay, and do you like Facebook?
Yeah, I think it's all right. I think it's a good platform to find out quite a lot about the news. Like, I see when... I'm aspiring to be a lawyer, so when I see quite a lot of criminal cases on the different radios, the Facebook pages, I like that and read into them.
Tell me, why a criminal lawyer?
Not necessarily a criminal lawyer, but you don't really read much about corporate law on the news. But it does interest me because it's like, almost because I haven't learned about it yet, so obviously I can see the criminal.
Do you want to be an advocate, a lawyer?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and why, is that in the family at all?
No, it's not. I know people who are, but no, it's not in the family.
Okay, Thomas is next to... Robin's next to Thomas as well. And you're going to university, is that right?
I've got another year to go first.
Are you aiming to go to university?
Yes.
Okay, what do you want to do?
Computer science, probably.
Yeah. Okay, are you on social media as well?
Yes, I am.
On everything?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't really use it that much.
How do you view social media, Robin? Good thing, bad thing?
Yeah, I think it's overall a good thing. You know, there's bad parts to it and like the cyberbullying things. But if people generally act mature, I think for the most part, social media is like a very good way to connect with people. And especially, you know, with the whole COVID situation, it's been like a key factor in, like, staying connected with everyone when people are in lockdown, and it's like video calls especially. I think a lot of social medias have them, and they're really useful for like keeping in touch with family and things.
Did you find the lockdown and the distancing difficult at all during the summer?
No, I didn't. I quite enjoyed it actually, because I had no school and no schoolwork really, apart from like the transition work, which I think I kind of left at the last minute. But so it was kind of relaxing. And as social media is, you know, there, and I can do video calls and voice calls and things to all my friends, it was just nice and peaceful, because it was quite hot as well, and you could go on nice walks and things. So.
It was a tremendous summer, wasn't it? I mean, of course, we'll never have this ever again. You'll always remember this summertime. Next to Robin, David Cowan. Did you play football?
No, I play hockey.
Hockey, that's it, for Harlequins,
yes,
as well. What position?
Either centre-back or wing-back, depending on where I'm needed.
Now, it's a great standard of hockey on the Isle of Man.
Yes.
How long have you been playing for?
7 or 8 years, probably. I've lost track.
What is it about the hockey fraternity? They're very loyal. They're very passionate, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very passionate about the sport. Loyal, I would make an argument some players aren't, because I know Harlequins especially, we have a problem of we train up the young players to be really good, to be island standard, and then they leave to go to better clubs.
Charlotte's next to David. Charlotte, you're a prefect, aren't you?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So that means that we represent the school in open day events. So recently we had the Men's International Day, and we did this event in the hall, and different prefects represented different stations, whereas I had a private, so a private study beforehand. So me and a few others helped set it up, and we put all the posters up.
Okay. What year are you in your final year?
Yeah.
Okay. And university?
Yeah, I'd like to go to Swansea because my family lives there.
What will you be reading there? What will you be studying?
Law.
Again, law?
Yeah.
We're in a room full of future advocates here on the Isle of Man. I want to talk to Luke as well, responsible football player.
Yeah.
Who
do
you play for?
I play for Braddon as well.
And you're the one who recruited...
We needed players. So.
Okay, and are you a fan of VAR as well?
No, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I just think it was the worst invention into the game.
So why did they invent VAR? Why did somebody suddenly say VAR is a good idea?
Well, there was a lot of discrepancy between the rules, and the referees were making a lot of mistakes, but like Elliot said before, the mistakes are still being made just by different people, and until they clear up the rules, VAR can never work.
Do you think it's because of the amount of money that there is in top flight football? Because obviously those decisions, you used to get managers moaning about decisions, I mean, and millions and millions of euros and pounds.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot at stake, but at the end of the day, football's all about enjoyment, and without fans, football wouldn't be, it wouldn't exist in its form, and so the fans should be the main consideration of the Premier League, and it ruins the enjoyment of the game.
How do you feel about the Premier League at the moment with fake crowd noise?
I don't like the fake crowd noise personally, because it doesn't feel authentic.
Thomas was saying that they've how many fans are going to be allowed in various grounds?
Oh yeah, it was 2,000 in 2000. Liverpool and in London, was it? Yeah, and
none in Manchester.
I mean, that's definitely a good thing, but at the same time, I think it sort of makes it a little bit unfair for some of the clubs that aren't going to be allowed fans, and therefore there's obviously going to be an advantage for the home team. And some clubs aren't going to experience that advantage of having their fans there.
Max is with us as well. Max, they're talking about legalising medicinal cannabis, and there's a big talk about legalising recreational cannabis. Yeah. What do you think about it?
I fully agree with the legalisation of both, to be honest. If you look at America, it's worked quite well. So
in some of the states?
I feel like it's a good place to try it off in the British Isles to see if it works. It would culturally as well, because our culture is quite different to the US. But test it here, see if it works, and then.
And do you think there's any difference between medicinal and recreational cannabis?
Well, yeah, because there's the medicinal use is more in favour of the CBD chemical that's in cannabis rather than the THC and the psychoactive substances.
Do you think that the criminals, because obviously at the moment drugs are in the hands of criminals,
yeah.
Do you think they'd kind of just give the ground up and move on to something else, or do you think they'd be selling stronger cannabis?
Well, I think that's the problem with the cannabis these days, is it's too strong. There's too high levels of THC in it, which does cause the long-term psychological disadvantages. But I feel like if the government can actually regulate the amount of THC and CBD in the cannabis, then we'll have less of those problems in the future.
Are you on social media?
I am, yeah.
What do you use?
Most of them, but I don't really use Twitter.
Do you post on Facebook, or do you just read?
No, I just have it to stay updated with hockey and stuff, because that's the main.
And you play for
Saracens.
Okay, Max. Next to Max is Adam as well. Tell us a bit about social media. What are you on, Adam?
So I'm on everything. So Snapchat, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. I use them all because I just like to stay connected with people all over the world.
How many friends have you got on Facebook?
Oh, I'm not big on the Facebook friends. I use that more for work and work groups and stuff. But other things like Instagram, I have about 1,500 people I'm following.
And you're on LinkedIn as well, which is a professional network as well.
Yeah, I love LinkedIn.
Why?
I use it to connect with people from different companies. So I know people at Microsoft, Adobe, Prodigy Learning. I know loads of people. So I like to connect with them and stay updated with them.
Adam, what do you get from that?
So I feel like I get to know people in all these big companies, and I get to know more about how the companies work, and so there's a chance that potentially my name might be in the frame for if there's any potential jobs coming up.
Students from St Ninian's High School in Douglas talking about some of the issues concerning them most.
This is the Man in Line on location.
Next to Ramsey Grammar School, and one of the recurring themes in all our visits was about COVID and how students cope during lockdown. Another was about the American election and President Trump. Whether you agree with their views or not, brace yourselves for some forthright commenters. Sam takes up the baton.
I just can't agree with anything that man says, Donald Trump. I think he's outdated. I think he's very out of touch with the people. The social divide he's caused in that country, it's scary. It's close on civil war. And what he's done, the mess up with COVID and the race relations, I just think he needs to, the quicker he's out of office, the better.
Why do you think it is that half of the country, or a significant part of the United States, seems to follow Donald Trump? They seem to be supporting him. Why do you think that is? What's he tapped into?
This is a generation where we're all on the internet, and I think there's no surprise in the fact that he's ruling via Twitter. And I think a lot of people will take what he says as gospel. What he says is fact, and the scary thing is he goes on about fake news, and his supporters will just believe anything he says over anyone credible, and I think that's why he's got such a big following still.
So presumably, I mean, in the new year, there's got to be the new president has to take office. What do you think's going to happen? Do you think Donald Trump will actually show up and hand over?
No. I think he'll be dragged out of the White House kicking and screaming, to be honest, but it won't be him in there as of January, so...
Freya's with us as well. Freya, you were with us last time, weren't you?
I was.
Okay, and you are, what's your official position in the school now?
I am a head student along with Sam.
Okay, well. Now last time we were talking about your police career.
Yes.
So how's that going?
So, well, it's not essentially a police career. I was in the Isle of Man Police Youth Scheme, which is a group of cadets essentially, and we would learn about what the police did when we'd go out and essentially do what the police do in a sort of dulled down kind of way, that it was a lot safer for us.
What did they get out of it?
Oh, so much. So it's just personal skills, really, like leadership, communication, just being able to talk to people and interact with people in a very different way to maybe what a lot of other teenagers are. And I think it really sheds a better light on the younger generation, because I know there's a lot of stigma about how we act and all that, so it's really good to see.
How do they cope with negative feedback? How do police cadets cope with people who don't take to them?
Well, I can't say that I've actually received very much negative feedback about it. The majority of people that we've spoken to and explained what we do have just thought it's absolutely amazing for young people to get involved and see what goes on behind the scenes.
Lily's with us as well. Lily, how was summertime at Ramsey Grammar School for you, or not?
Do you mean the summer term or do you mean the summer holidays?
Time, exams, academic work, how did you cope?
Well, for me, my math exams were cancelled, and that caused a lot of stress, as in what's going to happen next year and the possibilities of university even going through. So I think over summer there was that constant stress of what's going to happen at school because it hadn't been sorted out yet. But apart from that, it was nice to be able to actually get out of the house and spend time with people, I think.
How did you cope when they said there are no exams? You've been building up to exams. How did you, in what way was it stressing?
Well, your entire academic career is kind of, you've been told your entire life that your success is based upon your academic success. So when you're told you're not going to be tested, and the reality is it's just you against the university, kind of everything that you've ever done in your life, not academically, it kind of is daunting in that way that you feel as though you've kind of wasted some part just focusing on academia.
Was it all explained to you?
Slightly. I would say they did the best that they could. The resources that the school was given, they told us everything that they possibly could in that way. Obviously, researching the internet, WJAC boards, whatever, that kind of thing. They told us what they could, but they, in a sense, didn't know themselves what was happening.
Which university are you going to go to?
I'm looking at Sheffield, York and Lancaster. They're my top three.
To read what?
To do biology.
Okay. How do you think the Isle of Man's handled the COVID situation?
In comparison to the UK, really well. I do think that they were quick in their response at the very start, and throughout, obviously, regular checkups, they were really good, Howard time and everything. I do think at the moment they could have been slightly quicker in the house rule, as in when students come back that the whole house has to isolate. But apart from that, I do think they've been really good in their approach.
Amber, how do you think the Isle of Man's handled COVID?
I think it's actually been quite successful. I think at the beginning, though, I think I would have closed the borders a little bit earlier just to stop some more COVID coming over. But all in all, I think they have done a very good job.
Jack's with us as well. Are you going to university, Jack?
I hope so, yeah. I would like to study medicine because my mum's a doctor.
So do you think, I mean, obviously you've got family, you've got medical people in the family. How do you think the island's handled COVID?
I think
they must have been living and breathing it in your house.
Yeah, I think initially we handled it very well going into lockdown because we didn't know the extent of how bad COVID would be. But I think it's a controversial opinion, but I think if COVID does come back, we can't isolate or lock down for too long because I think it will ruin the economy. And for non-vulnerable people, has a very low mortality rate. So I think the vulnerable people should shield, but the rest of people should do what they want.
Socially, what do you think? How do you think we've handled? I mean, obviously, lots of people. There are some people who completely deny it. You know, there are some people, when the vaccine's on the horizon, some people are anti-vaccine as well. There are some people who don't quite accept it. How do you feel about that?
I think those people are stupid, to be honest, because there's scientific evidence that says COVID is real, and I just can't see their point of view.
Adam's with us as well. Computer games, Adam?
Yeah, computer games.
What do you play?
A lot of Overwatch recently, because I think computer games are really good at bringing people together, and especially, like you've been talking about COVID, especially when COVID was a thing and lockdown was enforced, you couldn't really have a social life. So unless, you know, you're messaging friends on different social media platforms, computer games is an excellent way to play with people. So to me, that kind of helped.
So university next year, have you got any plans?
Yeah, like Lily said, Sheffield seems really good for me because I want to do archaeology. And I've heard from different people that have been to Sheffield that that's a really good opportunity for them.
Okay. And just going back to the Isle of Man regarding COVID, how do you think we've handled it?
I think we've handled it quite well. I do think, as Amber said, that we should have really restricted it further earlier. However, I do think it's done well. But if we did go into where COVID cases rise again, then I think we should lock down schools rather than like what the UK's done, how they've made everyone has to lock down but the schools. I just think maybe it's controversial, but I think if people are coming to schools, contracting COVID, and then coming home, it's no point in locking down. So either don't lock down or lock down everything. Then there's the economy side, and I understand that. But
Jack?
I completely disagree. I think the students can't miss out on an education because of a virus that kills something like 0.02. of non-vulnerable people.
So well, this is it's the risk factor, isn't it? As you say, the mortality rate is relatively small, but it's still a risk. So I guess it's how you view the risk, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a risk getting hit by a car in the morning when you're walking to school.
Adam?
Yeah, please.
We won't die. There's a very low risk that we'll die. But the point is, we can still get it and we can still pass it on to the vulnerable people in our homes. So that's why I think lock down the schools. But I'm very, very for online learning. So do all sorts of, you know, Microsoft Teams and stuff, absolutely. But I just think it's a safer thing to do for everyone.
Conflicting views about dealing with COVID from students of Ramsey Grammar School. And you're listening to A Man in Line special with a review of our visits to six forms across the Isle of Man. The media landscape's rapidly changing. Newspaper circulation is in terminal decline, and use of the internet on the increase. Do young people read newspapers anymore? How do they follow the news? We get an insight now as we hear, first of all, from Katie at QE2.
I would tend to read the news more on my phone as opposed to on a newspaper.
And which sites would you go to?
BBC News.
You're on social media, I take it?
Yeah.
Everybody is.
Yeah.
What's your preferred? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Probably Instagram or Snapchat.
Snapchat as well. Do you post much?
Not as much, but I more just see what everyone else is.
What do you feel about Instagram? Do you think on balance it's a good thing?
There's definitely positives and negatives towards it. It can be really useful. For example, over lockdown, without all the social media, I would have been so isolated from all my friends. Definitely doing all the group calls and stuff really helped everyone get through it. I do feel like sometimes the negatives can outweigh the positives. For instance, seeing all celebrities maybe with showing unrealistic like body standards or people editing pictures or stuff like that. And I mean, as well, social media was quite over lockdown. There were some rumours and all stuff like that to do with COVID that possibly weren't true.
You mentioned body image. You get perfect looking celebrities who post images, and that can affect people, because if you, you know, if you combine that with peer pressure, sometimes some people just get intimidated by it.
I think as well, when you're constantly seeing photos of people with different body types and people deeming certain ones like perfect and deeming other ones undesirable, it's hard not to compare yourself to all the photos that you're seeing. Like maybe brings out insecurities in some people.
Robin, are you on social media?
Yeah.
What do you post or do you watch?
A bit of both.
Okay, and what do you want? Instagram, Snapchat, yeah. Facebook, Twitter?
No, I'm not on Twitter.
Do you follow Twitter at all?
No, I don't get the point of it.
are you on Facebook?
Only really for work and swimming. I don't like Facebook at all.
So what is it about social media that can bring out the dark side in some people, do you think?
I think it's the posting to an audience that you don't necessarily know or see in real life. You can create an identity and be whoever you want, and that allows people to get maybe a bit power happy, and they can change, people edit their photos because who's going to see the originals or whatever they're wanting to do. So you can create whatever you want on social media.
Ruben, are you on social media?
I am, yes.
What do you want?
Yeah, Instagram, Snapchat, the rest of it.
And do you follow news at all on the web?
A little bit, more politics, but I'm not too much, no.
Okay, where do you get your news from?
I just stick a Google search in. I don't really go to anywhere specific, yeah.
When was the last time you bought a magazine?
Years ago.
Okay, yeah. Newspaper?
I probably had one bought for me, to be honest. I don't really buy newspapers or magazines.
Do you get household... Does your household get newspapers at
Mum
all?
Buys a paper, yeah.
Yeah. And do you ever read it?
Sometimes, if I've got nothing else to do and it's just lying there, I'll flick through it. Look at the pictures.
And you're on social media?
Yes.
Yeah. What are you on, Snapchat, Instagram?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And what's your view of what Katie was saying about... Okay. Body image and stuff like that, how it can affect people.
Well, I think the social element of social media is fantastic, the way we can connect people from all over the world, but obviously people will take advantage of that or use it to show themselves in an unrealistic light, and I think for some people particularly that can be the issue of it. If people think maybe they should look like that or act in a certain way, and the element of social media, the fact you're so hidden from the people you're communicating with adds to the negativity of it.
Why would anybody post negative stuff on social media?
Well, I think in everyone there's a bit of bad, and because you're not saying it to someone's face directly or talking to a group of people, you almost have that confidence to be able to say things that maybe you'd suppress in a normal social situation.
Do you play computer games at all?
No, I don't.
Okay. I know Ed does. What do you play, Ed?
I play a lot of Grand Theft Auto in lockdown. Katie's on that body image. So Gymshark had posted a photo of a woman that was, well, she was quite large.
Gymshark's a make of
sportswear.
It's like a sportswear.
Like athleisure wear brand. Yeah. And they received a lot of backlash off people saying, oh, this is not, you know, it's unhealthy, blah, blah, blah. And I think the fact that the message they were trying to get across is they're trying to say, oh, it's okay to go into the gym if you're that size. Because people, you know, have to start somewhere, don't they?
Does a larger woman bother you personally?
No, not at all.
So why would you think that, you know, some people, I don't know what the perception is, whether it's the advertising industry that forces a woman of a certain body shape on the world, or I just wonder what your view is on this.
Well, I think it's men and women. You know, whenever you see an advert for a gym thing, the man's always stacked, he's always huge. And that kind of intimidates people who are maybe looking to start the gym and puts them off the gym, really.
Jasmine, do you follow the news much at all? Do you follow news? Do you read newspapers at all?
Only the kind of celebrity gossip on Daily Mail or the silly
TMZ.
Stories. Yeah, not really the serious stuff that probably should be, because it's been so repetitive lately.
Are you a music fan? Do you like music?
I like listening to music.
What do you listen to it on?
I listen to the biggest range of music ever. It's a bit of a nightmare, really.
So, are you on Spotify, Amazon Music, or what?
Deezer.
You're on Deezer.
Yeah, quite controversial, really.
Why? Why controversial?
Well, it's not the one people think of. I think it's great. It came with my dad's car, though, so that's why we use it.
Okay, all right. Well, if you've got a wide range of... What sort of music do you like?
I've got pop music, I've got some rap. I got a lot of kind of gone back into the 2000s recently, gone for a bit of a throwback. Yeah. But
how do you feel about rap musicians, rap artists using the N-word when it will be considered racist elsewhere?
I think that because of how big of a public figure they are, it's completely unacceptable, really. But I understand that in some cultures it is accepted, but because of the audience and the range of people that they are addressing in their music, I don't think it should be used.
Do you ever feel a bit, you know, do you kind of wince sometimes when you hear rap artists? And a lot of them are very misogynistic, they're very, you know, possessive over women.
Yeah.
They're very sexual in their imagery as well, and they use the N-word.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think we've kind of been conditioned not to even notice it in music. I think, although I wouldn't personally be going around saying the lyrics, listening to it, I don't think many people our age would be really taken aback by it, because we're just so used to it. Everyone does it now, and it's awful, but I think that's the truth.
And do you watch the talent shows on television?
I used to, but then
The Voice and stuff like that.
They used to be really good because you used to put people on who weren't really talented. It used to be funny, but now it's just, you have a sad story background and everyone's like, oh, and then you get through even if you can't sing, and it's just, it's a waste of time. I think they're awful.
You wouldn't watch them, mate. You think they've had their day, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. They are 10 years overdue. We need something new, I think.
Ed, what's your favourite music?
Oh, I'm quite a big Oasis fan, like Liam Gallagher as well.
They broke up, you know.
I know. What, you know, we can live in the glory days.
What sort of stuff, what contemporary stuff do you like? Do you listen to much?
I listen to a bit of modern stuff, quite the UK rap stuff. I mean, what Robin said about the lyrics, I mean, I don't think people really listen to the lyrics. They're just kind of like the music. I don't think people delve into it much.
Do you pay for your music, by the way?
Yeah, I'm on Spotify.
That's what, £9?
Yeah, something like that, £10 a month.
£10 a month, is that
something? I mean, I listen to quite a lot of music.
Just think, 20 years ago, no one would have believed you if you'd said that newspapers were on the way out and we'd be getting our news and music over a phone. Sixth formers at QE2 High School in Peel, they're proving just how fast things are changing. So far, we've been to schools with largely Manx students, but at King William's College, things are very different. Many of their students are boarders whose families are from far-flung parts of the world. So how did those sixth formers manage during the COVID lockdown on the Isle of Man? Well, some ended up being boarded by families on the Isle of Man, as Ava explains.
I actually had an international student staying with me until he could leave the island. And it was interesting. The family, the international student, we all embraced each other's culture. We got to know a whole new family and really got to know each other.
Did you ever feel scared about the situation that the island's in?
Yeah, I was worried about what might happen to all of us if we'll be returning to school, or even my family back in Canada. I was worried about them, as I've got some older relatives and I wasn't sure how the situation would evolve or when I could see them again. But I know the relief June 16th when we got let off lockdown. And we could go, I think that day I went and met all my friends and we had lunch or a picnic or something. Just being with each other, there's something bizarre about not having that human encounter.
So you think that the lockdown taught us to appreciate each other a bit more, perhaps?
I think it did. I really think it did. It's, you take things for granted. Even the thought of travelling across, it seems so freeing right now. Mm. We're all quite content here. We realise the position we're in. When you look at the news and you see how poorly some other countries are getting on right now, COVID cases worldwide are going up. But I know, I think everyone's grateful to be where we are, and the government's done well with it.
Ben, how did you keep up with how COVID was progressing? Did you watch television, listen to radio, read newspapers? How did you keep up to date?
I think it mainly came down to just on the government website, but also my parents. I think it was always a daily task for my parents to tell the family what exactly the cases were, what the situation was. But I think that on the news, on the radio, to hear that we were going to come out of lockdown was a great relief. But it was mainly the government websites and then hearing from an official source what exactly the cases were, what our situation was.
Have you any idea what's going to happen in the future? Do your parents tell you, do you talk about what may happen in the future? Because they're talking about this going on the other side of Christmas now.
Yeah. I think we've definitely come to an understanding that this is going to be, it's had a lasting impact and it will forever, there'll be an impact forever, sorry. And I
forever, you think?
Forever. I think on the way that we communicate, on the way in which we might travel or not travel. I think Zoom calls have obviously been taking precedence in offices and in families even, I think. And so that lack of need for transport and that lack of need for travel is something which will impact economies but also impact people's lives, I think.
Ben, do you use social media?
I do, yes.
What do you use?
I have a profile on Instagram, Facebook and Snapchat, I think. Yeah, I can't think of any others.
Do you think social media has played any part in the COVID-19 atmosphere?
I think it has as a whole. I think personally, not really. I think there have been obviously conspiracy theories. I think the whole thing about 5G and other things being something that was created, not necessarily something which happened by accident, coronavirus. And I don't necessarily subscribe to those beliefs or agree with them, but I think as a whole, social media has definitely impacted the general worldview of what's been going on. And I think it's quite interesting to how susceptible people have been to those theories and to those beliefs.
Rhys Donnelly is with us as well. Rhys, just going to those conspiracy theories, have you heard in any of those conspiracy theories?
Yeah, I have. I've heard the whole stuff of COVID was a whole like Chinese creation lab and all that. And same with Ben, I don't particularly like subscribe to them and believe in them. But I also believe that social media has sort of created a panic, I think that the way that COVID was sort of dealt with was by the media was sort of poor in terms of the whole bulk buying in Tesco. I think that got a bit out of hand.
Why did that happen?
I'd say the media I wouldn't directly blame the media, but people just became panicked because they were reading things and like cases and everything that was happening in the UK and how you just couldn't travel anywhere. So then people just started to panic and bulk buyed like tissues and
pasta
yeah. And beans, yeah.
Rhys, will you have the vaccine if it arrives?
Yes. I was recently watching the American debate and there was this a whole thing of if it's verified by scientists, then yes, I'll get it. But if it's verified by a few people, then probably not.
Sophie, would you have the vaccine if it arrives?
I would. I think I would do some research into it, see what it all comes down to is if it's safe and if it's going to be effective, then yes, I will. I think the priority with vaccines has to be the people who are most vulnerable, so it would be whatever the situation is at the time.
Do you think the Alemán government's handled the situation well over here?
I think they've handled it really well, actually. I think having that lockdown at the beginning, cutting everything out and trying to... I think the Alemán population have been really good at actually self-isolating, making sure that everything is okay. And I think having that period of lockdown really, in the long run, has helped a lot.
Does that surprise you, that a mass of people normally used to having freedom-filled lives suddenly agreed and just locked their doors?
I think it was a really good display of the Manx population and how in these sort of hard times we all come together. I think the Isle of Man is an amazing place where everyone will cooperate with each other and it's a very close-knit society.
Head boy, Ben is with us. When people are going to be coming back at Christmas, there'll be 1,000-odd students coming back to the Isle of Man at Christmas. And they're going to have to self-isolate. Would you think it's worth them staying over there or perhaps coming back here?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, actually, because my brother's currently at university as well in his final year, and he is planning on coming back. But it means that he has to come out of study 2 weeks early in order to get here. So it's a way up, really. I think, especially given the times, I think it would be a good idea for them to come back just to see their family. You know, it's been a long time. It will be a long time since they first went to university and coming back. So I think for the majority of them, I think it would be a good idea, but we'll just have to see.
2020 is going to be a year everybody will remember, and of course you'll be able to say I was head boy at KWC that year. What do you take away? What are your impressions, if you can flick back in your mind, of pictures and sounds and thoughts over the past 6 months?
Well, it's been completely bizarre, really. It's a complete shock to the whole of the school and I think in the community in general. When we all came off on that first day in March, that was a very large shock, and especially for the students in their final year, because that was effectively their last day at school. You know, they didn't expect it at all. There was a lot of emotion going through a lot of them. But yeah, I think as a school, we've done very well, especially for those students that had to continue doing online classes. We had online classes the whole way through the term until the end. And I think the first, we had that 2-week blip before we went off for summer holidays. I think that was really important. We all came back. We all came, you know, we all got through it. And I think that kind of bonding time, that was really nice before we all went off into our summer break.
An international view from students at King William's College in Castletown.
This is the Man in Line on Location.
Looking back at our visits to sixth forms across the island. Throughout the programmes, we've heard many issues young people are interested in, from President Trump and the American elections to COVID. But at Ballacameen, we were really in for a surprise. They tackled two subjects others might fear to discuss. They called for free contraception. They also highlighted a link between the need for female sanitary products and absenteeism. Megan takes up the story of how staff overcame the problem.
They've made them free, which is really good, considering that a lot of women who live around the UK can't afford it, which is a big issue, considering that over here they don't really have the same, I don't know, like making it free, they haven't done it.
And what's the situation at Bala?
They have a red box, which is for, it has period products in it that students can ask for, but it's paid for by our head of sick form out of his own pocket, which he's tried to get the school to pay for it themselves to get products for.
It's a touchy subject, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's quite embarrassing for most girls to have to go through it and not have anything there for them, to not be able to have access to any products that they might need, and to have to ask for it for someone else is quite embarrassing.
What's the situation regarding condoms?
I think, I don't know much about this topic, I'll be honest, but Mitzi knows quite a lot about
Mitzi?
It.
Well, currently in the school we don't offer any free contraception, and our head of sixth form was looking at introducing that on a state-funded basis. Unfortunately, along with the period products, he was rebuffed for some unknown reason. I feel that it's actually really important that we have contraception freely available in the school, because in the UK we have some of the highest teen pregnancy rates in all of Western Europe, and we're actually one of the only countries that doesn't offer contraception in schools for students aged old enough to consent. I feel there's a lot of stigma around the topic because, I mean, everybody here is old enough to consent to sex, and yet we don't have any provision in school of being able to get free condoms. Even at the gum clinic, you have to apply on a special basis to get them. You can't walk in and get some. And I think that there's a real stigma that needs to be broken around talking about it.
Why do you think there's a stigma?
Well, I think that it's for a mixture of reasons. A, older people, I feel, struggle to talk about sex with young people. I think that that's partly because it's an uncomfortable subject for anybody to talk about. But I think it's particularly because they can remember, our teachers at school can remember when we were in year seven, you know. And it's difficult to say to someone, I remember when you were picking your nose in my lesson, I had to tell you to stop, and now you want to have free condoms in our school. And also with parents, because they remember when you were a little baby in blankets, they want to protect you from things in life. And I think that that's part of the reason young people find it really hard to talk about contraception. Also, I've had some surveys online that would suggest that men feel it's a stigma that it's a woman's responsibility to provide condoms, and that for some sort of sexual activity, it's the woman who should arrive with the condoms as opposed to the man. And I feel that that's a big part of the stigma, that men somehow feel that they're almost, some men, obviously not all men, feel that they're somehow exempt from having to discuss it because it's not their job.
Your head of sixth form seems remarkably enlightened.
He does, and I think that's a testament to his ability as a head of sixth form to talk to us about those issues. I mean, he is able to talk to us openly. I had a discussion with him openly about providing free condoms in school, and he told me he's pushed for it, and he thinks that we should be having condom baskets around the sixth form centre because everybody here is 16 or over, and that's just something that hasn't been allowed.
I wanted to talk to Amy. What did you want to mention, Amy?
The way that exams were handled this year when they were cancelled.
How? What happened?
So we were given like a predicted grade. Originally, we were given a predicted grade, and then the exam boards kind of modified it, so it was changed, but that was scrapped in the end, and we were given what our teachers gave us. But I still feel that that's not a representation of how we would have done if we actually sat the exams, because some people do better in mocks, and some people do worse. I feel like I could have done a lot better if I sat the exams.
Well, what was the response from the teachers? What did they say?
I think I don't blame them, because it was they had to do it based off evidence, and they don't have evidence that you could have performed better.
How did you feel when you knew what the situation was?
Because
nobody
bit,
knew what was going to happen during the summer, did they?
When I found out how the grades were going to be awarded, I was a bit upset because, like most people here, I sat two of them early. And throughout the year, I was predicted like two grades lower than I actually achieved in the exam. So I feel like I could have done better, and there was a better system that could have been put in place.
What are you looking forward to? I mean, when are you hoping to go to university?
Not this September, but this September.
Do you know what you're going to do?
I think either law or politics.
And which university do you know?
I'm not sure. I was thinking Uni of Leeds.
Are you on track to get those results, do you think?
Yeah.
You are as well. Annie's next to you as well. Annie, I won't talk about what we said we weren't going to talk about. What did you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the virus and the way... I'm vulnerable myself. I'm a type 1 diabetic along with 3 out of 4 of my household. And we were watching the news and we're told vulnerables, they're at risk, such as diabetics, asthmatics. I mean, we weren't told why. We're not sure how vulnerable we are. We weren't reached out to by anyone. And it's quite a scary thing to just be told you're in this group of people that are particularly vulnerable in this time. And it's frightening.
How did your folks take it?
They were wary. My dad is the person who doesn't have diabetes in my house, so he was able to go out and get the shopping. But we were just left confused. We didn't know if we could go out, what to do, really.
Do you know what the situation is now?
I don't,
Are you still, I mean, did you shield during the summertime?
We weren't asked to shield, but obviously when we went into lockdown, we did. But there was no special treatment, although it was kind of... We were kind of betrayed that we should be doing something different, but we were never told what.
How do you feel the government on the Isle of Man handled the COVID situation?
I don't think you can fault the government, because I think it's shown now that there's no cases, nothing. I think there is nothing else they could have done better.
How did you feel about them sending people to jail who broke isolation?
I mean, it's unprecedented times. It means you have to do things that you wouldn't do. It makes you think, like, oh, gosh. But... if you're going to control this virus, then you're going to have to oblige to what they say.
Okay, Joe, how did you feel about how the government handled the virus?
I thought during the first lockdown it was very well handled in the way that like they strayed from the UK government in like testing and trying to eliminate the virus and not just trying to do herd immunity. But more recently in the way that the government has handled some of the press conferences and some of the scandals like the burning of the letter... I think that has exposed some not so good traits in what the government has done. I think that in the whole Rachel Glover situation, I think they didn't handle that well. I think that made distrust within the public. But after all, there is no virus over here anymore, so that you have to applaud them on that.
How did you feel about that letter thing?
I thought it was... I think it's a difficult situation because for everyone involved in the way that it was handled, but I'm not sure what I would have done in that situation as well. I don't think it should have been destroyed, or to be honest, I'm not really quite sure what I would do.
But I mean, as far as you say, we now have no cases on the Isle of Man, unprecedented right around the world. So we're in the situation we're in at the moment. Obviously, the vaccine's on its way, but lots of people aren't allowed to come back to the Isle of Man. There are some Manx people who want to come back to the Isle of Man who can't, and they're, you know.
I think that's tricky because you have to draw the line between having too many people come over to having the right amount of people. But I think that the system in place now is necessary in that it allows people, residents, over, but
it stops too many people coming over.
Do you think it was right to let all the students back?
I do. I think that for them to be stuck in their halls of residence over Christmas would have just been morally wrong.
Interesting revelations from Ballacameen, especially about the school providing female sanitary items and their call for free contraception. A delicate subject, but the sixth form was obviously not afraid to voice their concerns. Now, rounding off our grand tour of sixth forms around the Isle of Man, it's to Castle Rushen High School as we return to the issue of the American election. Time and again, we found students taken up with views about Donald Trump and Joe Biden and the clash between them. We heard quite a debate about the strengths and weaknesses of the candidates, beginning with Ailish.
Well, I hope that it will be Biden. It's looking like it should be from the polls we've been seeing.
Why do you want it to be Joe Biden?
Because I really just don't like Trump. He's a racist, homophobic man, and I don't support him.
Well, he's been the president for most of your adult life now as well. Do you remember who was president before?
Yeah, Obama was president before.
And the difference between Donald Trump and Barack Obama?
I feel like Obama cares more for the people of America, whereas Donald Trump just, he only looks out for himself and his friends.
Ava Shaw is next as well. Ava.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to be the next president of the United States?
Joe Biden. I'm praying to God, because if it's Donald Trump, I don't know. Everything's in the bin. America's in the bin. Economically, it's in the bin. If Trump carries on and has another 4 years, it's terrifying, because there's so much he could do that's bad.
What would you say if in front of you was somebody from Texas or Alabama or Florida who'd voted for Donald Trump? What would you say to them?
I'd probably scream. I'd be really angry. I'd say, why have you done this? Because he's a horrible man.
So if Joe Biden's president, he's got to knit America back together again, because there's been a partisan split, hasn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's not just people disagreeing with people. It's people getting really involved in it. How would a politician do that?
I don't know. It seems like, because it's so, everything's on social media and everyone uses social media and there's so much propaganda everywhere. It seems like everyone thinks that they're right and there's such a big divide that I don't know how Biden could do it.
What social media are you on?
I use Twitter.
You post on Twitter, do you?
I don't post, but I use it to look at like what politicians are saying, because Trump obviously tweets all the time.
Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, but I don't really use it that much.
Instagram?
Kind of. I don't post that much on anything. I have a lot of the apps because my friends use them, but I don't post at all.
Lucy's next to you as well. Who do you think's going to be the next president?
Anyone but Trump. Anybody. I wouldn't even... It could be Kanye West. It could be Joe Biden. Anybody but Trump.
Well, we'll see. And how has COVID affected you?
No exams. That was a big, big stress for me, definitely.
Why?
I put in so much work just from, like, December to, like, January, March, and when I was told, yeah, none of it's going to happen, it just really took a hit.
And in terms of university, where are you looking forward to going?
York or Durham, hopefully up north.
Tell me, how have the school been with you over the past few months?
It was a bit strange because it felt like every other year group was getting a lot of attention kind of from the school, like, here's work to do for year 9s. And as a year 11 and a year 13, it felt like we were getting a bit left out and we'd just been missed because everyone else was getting all the focus from the teachers on how to get online learning. And a lot of the time it just felt like we were glazed over.
Did you have to do it yourself?
It was just because of your exams aren't happening, just wait until September.
And so, how was the online learning facility?
From what I heard from friends and other people, it was a bit hit or miss. Like, some teachers would be really supportive with you and some wouldn't, and it would be hard to get contact and hard to get support, especially in a kind of distanced manner over the internet.
Thomas Kerfey is with us as well. Now, what's your feeling about the US presidential election?
I feel like it's a bit of a lose-lose situation, whether it's Biden or Trump. Preferably for me, Trump, because I think Biden's, he's gone in the head. He's too old. He's forgetful. And I think Trump, pre-COVID, had done an excellent job in reducing unemployment and getting the economy back on track. However, he does have his flaws as a character, so there's lots that can be
by
said.
By definition, what you're saying is if Biden becomes president, Kamala Harris is standing by to become president, which will make her, A, the first female, and B, the first person of colour, the first female of colour to be president as well. How do you feel about that?
Well, she's an ex, worked with the police, and obviously that is, in America at the minute, that's not ideal. That's not what a lot of people wanted, but I suppose they could look past that. And I think, progressively, America needs to change. A female president would be good for them. I think if you look at how female leaders around the world have handled COVID, it could be argued that they've done it better. So,
Harrison, what were you going to say?
I was going to say that if I'm a student on the Isle of Man, I shouldn't have to worry about the president of a country who's thousands of miles away. I think it's me being anxious for another 4 years. I wouldn't like it. I mean,
I'd be anxious
if Trump won. If you look at what the tensions that were rising in January when he almost went into Iran, that made me feel anxious on a global scale, and it shouldn't be like that. The Prime Minister of New Zealand has handled COVID excellently, and when you say that Trump's handled COVID, he hasn't. They've got the largest number of cases. You said that
I said before COVID.
Before COVID, but still.
Okay, Archie Elliott's here as well. Archie, what do you think about the President of the United States and the election?
Well, as Tom said, it is a lose-lose situation. There's no beneficial winner from it. And I think it's not for us to maybe meddle in other countries' affairs. It is the American people's decision to elect a president that best represents them. And whatever they go with, that is what democracy says.
How do you feel about the fact that it's become very partisan and there doesn't seem to be any nuance of opinion? People are either violently pro-Trump or violently against him?
I think it's such a shame because having a very partisan split doesn't allow for that difference of opinion. That's why if I was to support any candidate in the US presidential election, I couldn't vote for Trump, I couldn't vote for Biden. I'd vote for Joe Jorgensen, who's a third-party candidate with the Libertarian Party, because I could not bring myself to vote for either Trump or Biden, who are both getting quite old. They don't necessarily represent the views of the majority of the population. And it's time for someone fresh, someone new.
Lucy, what were you going to say?
Just back to Thomas's point. You're saying you support Trump as a president, but you wouldn't be a supporter of Biden, and then who would come after him as the first female and first person of colour in presidential. You said that you can't support him because he's gone in the head, but you are willing to support Trump, who is racist, homophobic.
Sorry again, Thomas.
But I said he's the best of the two options. So, I mean, you've mistaken what I've said. I definitely believe that Americans, they can't really win from this election. And I feel always with American elections, with a two-party system, you're never really going to get the best candidate for the country.
The views of students from Castle Russian High School. And today we've been revisiting our tour of six forms across the Isle of Man. Thank you to the teachers and staff who facilitated the visits and to the many students who took part from St. Ninian's High School, King Williams College, Ramsey Grammar School, Ballycommeen High School, QE2 High School, and of course, Castle Russian. I'm Andy Wint, producer Barry Redfern, and join us live in the new year every weekday at midday. Until then, goodbye from the Man in Line and a very happy new year.